We ran into our guy Smitty at the National Middle School Duels this past weekend. He had the event outfitted with his corner rugs. Make sure you're getting yours for your tournaments this season. Hit him up at smitty43952@gmail.com. Go check out our partner, Spider Matt Tape, at spidermattape.com. It's the freshest mat tape in wrestling, manufactured this year and hasn't been sitting around in a warehouse. Once again, it's spidermattape.com. Limited rolls available. Once it's gone, it's gone. Coach Shindell, welcome to the Wrestling Philosophy Show. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it's a great day. Any day we get to talk about wrestling, right?
Yeah, always a good day, right? Especially this time of year. First off the bat, you know, we talked earlier, but I didn't know you were related to the Dees family. Obviously, right behind you there, you got the family tradition poster. Fill the listeners in on that. That was news to me.
Yeah. So my grandfather, Bill Dees, one of the founding fathers of Ohio Youth Wrestling. So as I tell everyone, like, it's I think I had no choice but to wrestle. Crazy part, he actually played basketball in high school.
Really?
And then my uncle Ken was, I guess, went to wrestling and practice and came home and said he's going to do wrestling. My grandfather, how the story's been told to me, at least, is that he said, oh, so you're at play practice, because the only thing he knew was WWF and WWE or whatever it's called back then. And but then I guess, you know, he went to watch his first wrestling match with, you know, his son wrestling and kind of fell in love with the sport. And I know that just through the years, he's kind of then was loading up vans and taking kids, you know, across the state, you know, going to wrestling tournaments and whatnot. And then they, you know, yeah, started Ohio Youth Wrestling. And all I can remember is, you know, all my youth years were going to that Firestone gym and kind of hanging out, and, you know, I was hanging out with my cousins and watching wrestling. And that's probably where I grew the passion or love for the sport. Because that's kind of all I remember. There was, because I am I'm 6'5". So there was a stretch there in third, fourth and fifth grade. My parents let me do both. Uh-huh. So I played basketball. So basketball practice was like Tuesday and Thursday. And wrestling practice was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so Ohio Youth was on Sundays. Basketball games were on Saturdays. As a father now, I have no idea how they allowed me to do that because I took up every day. And, I got a 5 and 3-year-old at home, and I can't imagine trying to run them around every single day. But my parents pulled it off. So they for like 3 years, I did both. But, I mean, with five uncles that ended up all wrestling, and then there's 32 of us cousins. So I'm actually on the lower end. I think I'm like the sixth youngest. There was always that support system. If somebody you needed and talked to and all that, obviously my cousin Dave won a state title, went on to wrestle at Brown. So he was probably one of the bigger, you know, kind of guys that I looked up to, especially because of that time. Like, right, when I was in like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, he was winning a state, you know, a state runner up and then a state title. And so that was like the guy, you know, so to speak, that like for you know, when I was kind of developing and growing my love and passion for the sport of wrestling. And so and then I was always like, you know, Barry Saley and Dave Bolliard were, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, just down in somebody's basement, and those guys would be around and start wrestling and whatnot. And I wasn't very good, and I was getting my butt kicked. And I think Bolliard one time smoked me in the face with a pillow fight one time, got a bloody nose, and trying to cover that up so the aunts and uncles didn't know about it. Like, it was just an old fashioned wrestling family, just hanging out, wrestling. Like, what can be better?
So. Right. So, you know, OIWA, that very instrumental in, you know, the Northeast Ohio, you know, roots. Yeah. Any stories on the inspiration, you know, behind that, or how that started? You know, have you heard any stories? Or
all I know is that what I've heard is that he wanted like more opportunities for kids to wrestle. So from my understanding, again, like, my uncle went and wrestled, you know, started wrestling in high school. And my grandfather didn't even really know about it, went and watched it and was like, man, this is an awesome sport. You know, teaches kids a lot of things. And from there, was just loading up his car and you know, he had 9 kids. And so then was just kind of loading up his car and SUV or whatever they had back then and station wagon. And, you know, was just taking kids around to get find wrestling tournaments and get opportunities to wrestle. Because obviously my Uncle Ken was the oldest. There's a, with 9 of them, there's at least a 15-year probably gap. So, you know, he had younger kids at the time. And my understanding is, yeah, just loaded, you know, guys up in the car and took them around wrestling. And then I think, there was a group of them. I don't know who all was on that, but, you know, got together and said like, we need to get, you know, this out in front of this and get kids opportunities, no different than, you know, youth basketball or right. anything else and whatnot. And so, from my understanding, that's how it started. And I can tell you that was probably one of my bigger inspirations is, you know, that it's what you did on Sundays. You went to church and then you went right straight to Firestone High School and you went and wrestled a few matches. And then, you know, everybody else got to go home. We stayed there and watched a few more matches. You know, when I was done wrestling, I was a bopper. I felt like we had the golden table because it was Dave Deese, Barry Saley and Dave Boyer. And then I was the bopper. So like, you know, I was just a little rug rat running around counting down the time. But again, like just it's what you did, you know, you know, that I look back and that's some of my best memories and, you know, super thankful that, you know, he was a part of that. Cause obviously wrestling teaches us a lot and to be able to have that a part of your family is a pretty cool thing. So,
right. Yeah, that is pretty dang cool. I didn't know that. I'm glad you mentioned that. And obviously you can see the name for those that watching on YouTube, you can see all the names there in the family. It runs pretty deep there. You mentioned, you know, obviously everyone knows that the sport teaches us lessons, right? And I guess walk us through your career and at what point did you know you wanted to get into coaching?
If I kind of will rewind, I'll go into high school a little bit right. to kind of get there. So in high school, I didn't actually think I even wanted to maybe wrestling in college was kind of in the back of my mind, but so my grandfather also started an electrical business. So anybody knows that, you know, Deese Electric is our family business. And so my 5 uncles are all electricians. I would say most of my male cousins are electricians at this time.
My wife's same thing.
Right. Like from the age of 10, you know, I was in the back of the shop. And so I always thought kind of, all right, high school wrestling was going to be the end and, go into the apprenticeship and join the union and then eventually work for the family company was kind of one of the things that I thought was going to happen. So I didn't necessarily, as I tell people, I didn't necessarily value my education as much as I should have in high school. And, but still, so I got an opportunity to wrestle in college. Like I, you know, was lucky enough to, you know, place the state tournament twice and, got an opportunity. And so that's when I got into college. I got into education first. Like, I was like, all right, I want to be, you know, some of the best people around me have been around the sport of wrestling. So I wanted to be a high school wrestling coach. I was pretty good at math. So I was going to be a math teacher. And so I just remember actually it was my freshman year. I think my spring semester, like I was in like a calc class. And I just remember sitting there and going, the only reason I'm learning this is to reteach it to somebody. And at that moment, I was like, this is not what I want to do. And so I ended up actually like right then and there, like changing my major into phys ed and health. I enjoyed, you know, being active and whatnot. And so, again, it was still kind of my thought. So, but I think after my sophomore year, after the national championships, you know, I realized, you know, like, man, maybe I could make a career out of this. Like if I sit down and you know, buckle down and do well at wrestling, do well academically, I can potentially do this. So I was lucky enough to you know, be a 3-time All-American and took care of my grades. And so I was a multiple-time scholar All-American. And so I'll never forget. So my senior year, I graduated in credits, but I still needed to come back and do my student teaching. And so, well, Mark, our head coach, at the time, actually he's my brother-in-law as well, but, oh, really? Yeah. But, so he, I'll never forget. I was in the weight room, like just getting a workout in, you know, season's over, my career's done. And he walked up to me. He was like, "Hey, by the way, do you want to be the next assistant wrestling coach?"
And it's Mark Haywald that people are listening.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
or that don't know that are listening. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, he comes up and I was like, absolutely. So like didn't have an interview. Didn't have to do any of that. Like I was in shorts and a t-shirt and, I said, absolutely. I remember calling my mom and, she was like, "Well, you're still going to go to school in the fall and do your student teaching. Like you're still going to get your education degree." And so I was like, "Yep, absolutely, mom." Like, and so I had to go back and tell him like, "Hey, in the fall, like I'm going to have to still do my student teaching for 8 hours and then, you know, come into the room and whatnot. But after this fall semester, I'll officially graduate and then we can go from there." So I was an assistant coach. And so working all that, I did my student teaching. I was assistant coach that year. Well, that April, May, he ends up, leaving and going to Case Western. And I hadn't applied for my, so right around that time, I hadn't applied for my teaching license. And I still have it somewhere. It's either at my home office or it's in my office right now. But there's a framed check. So my mom mailed me a check to get my teaching license, but she mailed it right at around the time that all this stuff was going down. So like the crazy part is like, she sent me this check to like, you know, $300 or whatever to, you know, I passed my praxis. I think it's changed now, whatever you have. But I passed both my praxises and I was, you know, going to go get my, I was either figuring out if I was going to be a GA and go apply. And I actually interviewed at like Heidelberg, to be a GA and whatnot. And, then she mailed me the check and lo and behold, he's leaving. So then, Larry Karras, the head football coach and athletic director at Mount Union, I'll never forget. It was on my 24th birthday. He walked into my office and he's like, "Hey, I need you to see you." And again, like this is June. Like and Mark was like in the process of, you know, getting hired over there and, at Case. And so Larry pulls me into his office and sits me down and he asked me two questions. I think I only got one right. He said, "Do you want to be the next head wrestling coach at Mount Union?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And then he asked me like what the foundation of Mount Union, like the words were. And I was like, "Coach, I have no idea." Like, and it was to lead inspirational lives. But lucky enough, I don't think he knew it either because he had to look it up. I remember he had to Google it. So he asked me it and I remember, you know, at 24 in your first maybe real job, I remember like thinking like when he asked me that, I was like, first of all, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt again.
Yeah, you probably never had a true interview at that point.
I never had a true interview and I thought like, oh shoot, I get this question wrong. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm gonna be an assistant coach. Like, I'm staying. So then he hired me and then I had 5 great years at Mount and but to kind of revert back when I knew, like, I think it was just sometime, you know, at that national championship, you know, just looking around and being like, I don't want to be away from it. Like, mm-hmm. I took 8 that year as a sophomore and I just remember being like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want to be in this sport. You know, some of the best people in my life came from this sport. And I wanted to help student athletes have that feeling. Mm-hmm. So crazy enough, like during that transition. So my senior year, so I took a redshirt year, I actually transferred to Mount, but I was originally at Mercyhurst and then transferred to Mount, but I took a redshirt year. So my senior year, my brother was a freshman. Okay. So that was the first time we got to wrestle in the same team together. Cause when I was in high school, he was in 8th grade. So we wrestled that year. His sophomore year, I was his assistant coach. And then his junior, senior year, I was his head coach. So Thanksgiving and Christmas were very unique during those times, to say the least. I think I tell people a lot, he handled it better than I did because there were probably times in the room that I said Joe and everybody like in the room was like, he's calling him by his like, that's his, like, that's not like coach. That's like, that's a brother Joe.
Yeah.
But that's he always called
to
me.
Be in. That's tough, right? Because you can't favor him. You got to treat him like you're young, right? You were what at that point, 25, right?
Yeah, I was 24, 25 years old.
You're still a kid yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out. Just trying, basically not trying to screw it up, right? And like our teams at that time, I mean, we finished 8th and 7th at national duels. So like we were you know, very good team during those 5 years. So like, it was stressful to say the least. Mm-hmm. And then my cousin Luke ended up joining the team. Wow. You know, Joe's like the fourth youngest and of the 32. And then Luke is the third.
Right behind you there, right? Is it right behind you right there?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just... So Luke's right here. Yeah. Took fourth at Manchester. And then my brother Joe's up here. He took fifth. He took fifth and seventh, I think. That must have been printed at that while he was still in high school. So, it was unique things, but like, I think it brought us extremely close. Like even right now, we all have Apple Watches, so we still now have, once a week challenges between the three of us, me, Joe and Luke, on fitness things and whatnot. And sometime in that time, like that's when I just looked around and I knew that this is what I wanted to do the rest of my life.
That's so cool. Yeah. Wow. Coaching your brother. That'd be tough. I was teammates with my brother in high school and college, but coach, I don't know if we would have survived that one, man. If he barely survived being teammates. You had to learn something though through that, right? I mean, coaching your brother kind of at a young age, it probably helped you mature a little bit faster, right? As a coach.
Yeah. I think, you know, that it definitely like made me think about like kind of how we approached every situation. Like there were so many times, like even before practice, like talking about the situations and whatnot, like just that it, you just didn't like, all right, let's go to practice. It was like, all right, like how are we going to, you know, cause again, now I have two family members on the team. And we're, you know, obviously trying to make sure that, you know, you're getting the keys to a pretty good team. Don't screw it up. Right. You know, we definitely like how we approached everything. And I'm sure that there were things that I probably fumbled the bag on and didn't do it the best. But, you know, again, like I hope that, you know, when I look back, like those were probably, you know, some of the best 2 years of my life. Cause I, you know, it was family around, we were working out together. You know, right. Like that part was easy. Like to me, and hopefully, you know, my brother and my cousin, you know, think the same way, because it was, you know, it'd be like, hey, I'm going to go lift at 8 a.m. Does anybody want to join me? And, you know, those two would always be like, yeah, well, you know, I'll go for a run with you or whatever, you know, and not that student athletes don't still do that. Like I have 9 a.m. workouts now, but sometimes I'm in there alone on a treadmill, getting my workout in or lift. Cause you know, it's just a little bit different, right? Like, I still like to think that all these kids are, you know, part of my family and they're my sons and, you know, but it's just, there's still a little bit of that difference, you know, when you kind of think about it. And so those 2 years were really special to me. And I think again, like me and my brother are really close. We probably talk almost every day. He's in business now. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, he's super successful in business. And I think a lot of it's, you know, he talks about how, you know, just wrestling made him successful in that industry. And so I'm super proud of him. Kind of came full circle. About 2 months ago, he's now a manager. He's a financial advisor. He's a manager of financial advisors now. And he brought me in to kind of speak about my story. Oh, wow. And kind of where I got, as a motivational, you know, speaker for 45 minutes, an hour. And that was probably that was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done in my career. To like, you know, like one, to be a motivational speaker is probably, you know, pretty cool and whatnot. And I had a lot of fun with it, but two, to be able to like, your own brother is bringing you back and like, you're doing it for them. It was just kind of cool.
He really thinks about you, you know?
Right? Yeah. So like, hopefully I didn't screw anything up. Like we did something a little bit well. So.
That's awesome. So you're at Mount and then from there you go to Adrian, right?
Yeah. So, the long story short is as all young men become adults, we learned a pretty important saying, and that's happy wife, happy life. So, my wife's from Wauseon, Ohio. So Adrian's 30 minutes north. It's right over the border, of Ohio and Michigan. And so, I didn't actually even know about it. I think either my mother-in-law or my wife found out, but basically my wife came home. She was 6 months pregnant and said, hey, Adrian College is looking for a wrestling coach. And, you know, as we start getting ready to start our own family, I'd really like to move closer to home. And so if we rewind and the running joke is I always thought I won the battle, but she won the war. And what I mean by that is, so when we were dating in college, so when I graduated and became an assistant coach, so the school actually, I had to go to HR and sign like this contract that I was dating a student at the time, because like, she was still a senior when I was an assistant coach. And so I had to sign this thing. She always would be like, even the school says you can't date anybody else but me. And like, it was just kind of this joke a little bit. But so when she graduated, she got a teaching job back up here, you know, this way. She actually taught for Mount Pillar. Okay, and,
Troy Roth.
And so, And so that's where she got her first teaching job. Well, that, I think it was when I got the head coaching job. So that next year, we sat down that summer and like, it was like, kind of like, all right, if this is going to work, we got to figure this out. And I remember we went on this long walk and I just said like, hey, like I'm at Mount, like this is where we graduated from. They asked me to be head coach. Like, both my parents have worked for the same company their entire lives. Like this is where we're going to be at. Like, so if we're going to make this work and whatever. So, that following year, she ended up getting a teaching job at West Branch. Mm-hmm. And so she moved to Alliance. We bought a house. So I still live with two of my friends, Leo Sanyek, and then Aaron John Henry. So Aaron wrestled at Heidelberg, and then Leo wrestled at Brown and is a teacher and wrestling coach at Minerva. But anyway, so we lived together, and then Chris, we bought a house, and Krista lived over there. And then that year, then we got engaged and married. So I like, hey, like, yeah, I told her where we were going to live and whatnot. Well, you know, 4 years later, she asked. So, the moment I knew that, like I walked around campus and, met with the AD and met with the president, the VP, and they were just asking about like how, you know, they have 50 sports and how they're going to, you know, we want to win championships and get to this level. And they weren't even really like interviewing me. They were more like asking me questions on what they could improve and, you know, what this needed to look like to be successful in that. And
because they just started a wrestling program at that point, right?
Yeah. So they had started, there was a coach here for 1 year and then he actually went back to his alma mater. Okay. And went back. And so, so they were kind of basically restarting a brand new program, mm-hmm. is kind of the best way to put it. And so, that was kind of like, I remember getting in the car and I was like, I don't know that I want to leave. Cause I think it was just instilled in me. Like, again, both my parents worked the same place their entire lives.
Opposite amount, right? Yeah. That's an established program, right? You knew you're comfortable there, right?
I'm comfortable there, but I think it was more like everybody around me, like worked or, you know, was there, there was this sense of like loyalty, if that makes sense. Like, right. Like Coach Karras was a huge mentor of mine. Obviously. So he graduated from Mount State, basically was at Mount, you know, forever, you know, since he was a student there or a student athlete. And so, and then both my parents worked, you know, at the same place. And so that was the toughest decision of my life. And the toughest moment was when we made the decision to leave and I had to have a team meeting and tell the guys, there's actually, so that year, as my wife puts it, there's three times I cried that year. I cried when I was telling the team that I was leaving. I cried when the Cavs won an NBA title, and I cried because when my daughter was born. So that was a tough year.
Heck of a year, good year, right?
Yeah. So as a diehard Cleveland, you know, sports fan, that was big too. But yeah, so it just worked out. Like we're, you know, I have a great set of in-laws. My in-laws live basically right down the road from us. You know, they help out. Looking back, I don't know how we would have done it. Like if we would have stayed at Mount, you know, been 45 minutes, like it was where we went to school, but being away from 45 minutes away from family. Now, you know, I got, you know, my father-in-law retired and my mother-in-law owns her own business. And so, you know, there's just times as a coach. And then my wife's a math and middle school teacher that like, there's just things that happen, especially then, you know, obviously with the pandemic. Things that happen. Actually, this week's a good example. My daughter, her school is closed this week. There was a close contact and whatnot, just trying to figure out and kind of handle that situation. Luckily, she's been, you know, she gets tested every morning right now, so she's negative, but just trying to figure out that and just managing that with a team and all that, just
like
chaos.
Season's getting going, right? It's like just another extra 20 variables, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're obviously at Adrian, as you shared here, and as we were talking, 50 sports, but one of the conversation we had yesterday, right, you had with the AD is, what did he look at you? What did he say?
Wow. Oh, yeah. So probably the best compliment I think of my career right now. So you come into a place where it's got 50 sports and, we have 7 hockey teams. But so, so we have a men's and women's NCAA one. And then on the men's side, we have a club D1, D2, and D3. And then on the women's side, we have a club D1 and D3.
No way.
Yeah. And then
like that.
Yeah. And then synchronized skating and figure skating, like all in that building as well. So it's not, so hockey's probably like the, been the baby a little bit. Like
bass fishing. What else?
Bass fishing. We had cornhole this year.
Cornhole. Yeah. Wow. Was it men's and women's or just what is it?
Yeah. Men's and women's. But yeah, so he looked at me, we were getting ready to host. So we've now gotten to the point where now we host the Adrian Invite on the men's side. And then the next weekend we host the men's duels along with women's duels and a women's open. So we have men's and women's here. Our women's team has, 30 girls on it. He covers like 18 states. So we have a great women's program. They've been in the top 10 of the country, I think every year since Coach Kishard's been here. So they've won the national title for GPA and different things like that. But anyways, so we're sitting there and we're setting up and we're just talking about different things. And we want to get like a spotlight in the gym now and just talking about how that's going to work and whatnot. And my AD just shakes his head and looks at me. I was like, what? Well, what's up? And he goes, I can't believe we're becoming a wrestling school. And he just walked away. And to me, that's awesome. Like that's, the higher ups and people around me think like, man, this place is a wrestling place, but it's Lenawee County needed wrestling here. Like Lenawee County. So those that don't know, Lenawee County in Michigan, like we have Hudson, who'd be like very similar to like Delta. They won like 8 of the, I think they've won 8 or 9 in the last 12 years, the Division IV state titles. Then you have Clinton, who upset and now has won the last 2 state titles in Division IV, right down the road. Like Tecumseh's been in so in Michigan, you have the true, like it's the team tournament and then the individual tournament. It's all
teams bigger,
in.
Right? The team is the tournament, right? That's
the tournament here in Michigan. Like individual has no team score. It's just individual kids. They just put 14 kids. You can put 2 heavyweights in. If you don't want to enter a 106 pounder, you can put 2 heavyweights in so there's been times in the state finals.
As it should be, I feel, but.
Different time, different place, right? Like, but you can enter in, there's been times I've seen a state championship where it's 2 kids from the same school, wrestling for the state title.
That's cool.
So, but anyways, and then Dundee is not in Lenawee County, but right, right over the,
they're solid,
the border.
Man. They're solid.
So, and then, Addison for a long time was super good winning state titles and being successful. You got Tecumseh making the Elite Eight. Adrian's right there. Like just a lot of these teams, probably missing a handful, but a lot of these teams always have multiple time state placers, have successful wrestling. The crazy part is like when I moved here, like how involved the local paper was, like coming in, like we want to do interviews and get with the kids. And so, our guys kind of get to be a little bit of rock stars. Because the local paper wants to interview them, especially our local guys who stay around. So yeah, the school needed it. And now that we have it, it's awesome. We actually, Siena Heights is the local, NAI school in town. So they're also in Adrian. So we have two colleges in Adrian College and Siena Heights. So they just added men's and women's wrestling, and Derek Mary, is their head coach. And we're like in the process, this will be our first year of dueling each other. And we're going to make like, so the Maple Leaf is like the Lenawee County thing. And so we're going to hopefully get a Maple Leaf made up on like a wooden block and make it pretty cool. And it'll be kind of spray painted or colored, the Adrian and Siena Heights colors. And we'll like kind of battle over that and stuff. We're just like, I don't know, to me, like, it's just trying to build that.
Create
like
something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, we talked, just trying to build something, have things to gravitate towards and do that. But like this place loves, like this area loves wrestling. And so it's pretty cool to see. I think there's, you know, I've gone to some football, local football games. There's more wrestling t-shirts in the stands than there are any other sport. And that's including sometimes football t-shirts. So that's like, that to me, that says something. When you go to a local, you know, a Clinton, you know, football game, and there are, you know, or a Hudson football game, and there are more wrestling t-shirts in the crowd. Like, to me, I'm like, I'm at home, man. This is awesome. Right. You know?
Oh, that's awesome. And then you host the men's regional this year and the women's NCAA, is that right? Or what's the
position? So this year will be our second year, obviously with a gap year, but second year on the hosting the men's regional and the women's national. So we've been, again, just with facilities and then with a, you know, great, you know, leadership from our AD, to our president and our VP, you know, they want things on campus. They like when campus is active. They like, hey, let's have this. So, we hosted 2 years of the girls state unofficial girls state championship. And then now it's, you know, officially a sanctioned sport here in Michigan. So it'll go to Ford Field, I believe, with the boys. So we got the men's regional now for 2 years, and then this will be the women's national for 2 years. We actually last year, which was super cool, we hosted the only tournament first semester, on the men's and women's side. So we had a men's invitational with like five teams that were, you know, we were all getting COVID tested and we had to wear masks and we had defense soap wipes station. Like you had to walk off and wipe down. Like the protocols were pretty intense, but basically the mats were getting like lasered like every five matches or something like that, every half an hour. But we pulled it off. We had a tournament, crazy enough, the contact tracing never came back. Like it was a super successful, 2 weekends. And then right after our 2 weekends of doing it, I can't remember if we were back-to-back days or back-to-back weekends, but, kind of everything kind of got a little bit more locked down a little bit as we went into the holidays. So we were actually supposed to compete and, you know, we weren't able to, after that, for another tournament, you know, somewhere else, a duels tournament. But yes, it's been awesome. It's been, you know, when you have a support staff like that and they want you to host stuff and whatnot, there's a reason why so many teams have been successful here. You know, our baseball teams, you know, made the World Series last year. You know, our club hockey team has won their four. So we've had hockey for 12 years. They got four national championships. They might have five. So hopefully Coach Gary doesn't watch this that I didn't know it, but they have four or five national championships. Just the amount of success all our sports programs have had, is just pretty remarkable. And it's only growing. Like, right, we had women's wrestling, and even though wrestling is new, right, again, they're in the top 10 in the country. They're battling, you know, on the men's side. Even with the years, we've had four All-Americans in the last 2 years. We've got 11 Scholar All-Americans. So we're continuing to build and get better, and you know, start to compete with some of the best teams in the country. And so a lot of that just has to come down to resources and being able to you know, to see things. I remember my first year, I made a phone call and some kid didn't even, like, he was a Michigan kid, didn't even know where Adrian College was or that we offered wrestling. And now to be able to market and get out in front of this and say, all right, well, we host, you know, on the men's side every year, we host three tournaments, mm-hmm. you know, plus then our home thing. So like we're almost home 50% of our schedule. You know, so to be able to do that, then on the women's side to host so much, you know, they do the same thing. Now we host the Lenawee County, our AD hosts the Lenawee County meet for the high schools. So like, it's just continues to keep growing, which is again, like how can you be upset about that? So I would hope to think if we wrap this back to the rules thing, I would hope to think that, you know, Grandpa Deese is looking down and proud that, you know, his grandson knows how to run a few tournaments and
yeah,
get
right.
things going and whatnot. So
heck yeah. Well, you must have the right facilities, obviously. Right. But then next you got to have the right people. Who are some of the people that make that happen, running events, and, you know, who are some of your coaches then too?
Yeah. So now we have Coach Neiman as an assistant coach. He actually was an All-American for me last year and graduated. Coach Morrison was with me for 4 years. Super happy for him. So he was actually a New Jersey guy And now he's the head coach at St. John Fisher in New York and kind of back home. Really proud of him getting back. And then obviously Coach Cushard, our women's coach, and his assistant Brooke have been like, we all four, like, even though we're two separate programs, we work as one. So that makes things scheduling easier. And then our AD Duff and then our athletic training staff, we have these meetings and sitting down together and figuring things out. And then the crazy part is now, and not that it's been, it's been 5 years. I think this is our fourth year of the invite. Everybody knows, like, it's just like, it's like clockwork. All right. Hey, the wrestling tournaments are here. This is what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to go. And then we, you know, track knows that he's got to, you know, get his stuff in the one corner. And so it's a pretty, in my aspect, it's a pretty cool thing that everybody kind of knows. All right. What we call our auxiliary gym, the blue gym, and the main gym are going to be kind of shut down and whatnot. It's kind of cool when, like, even the basketball coaches now know, like, all right, these are the wrestling weekends. Yeah. Like, I'm like, man, like, how often does that happen that basketball coaches go, hey, this is the wrestling team. They get the gym these weekends. Yeah. Like, that they host this thing. So I don't know many schools that happens. So we're going to keep our mouth shut about that and just keep letting that happen. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you also run some camps and, you know, summer duels, right? I mean, that's kind of, you talk about branding. I mean, you kind of, you know, that's how we met, right? Back in the day at Marlington, right?
Yeah.
Mount Union, but, you know.
Yeah, so.
Speak on that and kind of how, you know, you said they've grown almost too big, right?
Yeah, so my first year, we just kind of put it out. I think we had like 8 teams come. And it was a pretty good weekend, right, guy? You know, no one's going to complain about getting matches and whatnot. And then I sat down with one of our housing coordinators and trying to figure stuff out. And I said, listen, like, if I can offer housing, I think we can get a lot of teams to campus. And going back to President Docking, like, he wants things happening and on campus and knows that, you know, if we get foot traffic, that's going to turn into students or student athletes. And so just sitting down and I was navigating weekends and whatnot, I said, I need to be able to offer housing on campus, even if they choose to, you know, stay in a hotel, if I can offer it super cheap and whatnot. So we worked a system out. And so then that we went from 8 to, I think, 24, and then we went from 24 to 38. And then the pandemic hit. And then this last year we capped it at 32. We now have, so we had a 32, the next weekend, we'll cap that at 16. I think we had 10 teams this year. And then in late July, early August, we always get another 10 to 12 teams there. So we get, I mean, some of them are reoccurring teams, but like this year we had 50 teams, you know, on campus. And then that just led into, like, as those grew, then we said, let's do kind of an intensive camp. This year we had 118 kids in our intensive camp. You know, we got the ice arena. So, like, they take out the ice. We put down 8 mats in the ice arena. And so we had 100, you know, we got all the local college teams in here. So it was a pretty cool thing. Like, we had sat down and thought about, like, ways to kind of do this. And so every session was ran by a different coach. So we'd have 3 sessions every day. And so we'd have, you know, Defiance represented, Heidelberg represented, Henry Ford, a community college represented, you know, Ohio Northern, Siena Heights, like a lot of these schools, awesome. You know, the schools around us, we just figured, like, and I told those coaches in our philosophy is, like, we want to try to be cheap, but give these kids an opportunity, like, twofold. It's almost like a huge recruiting combine / camp,
right?
Because now you have 10 college coaches in a, you know, that these kids get to go see it. You know, they fill out a waiver to release their information to the college coaches. So the coaches get their information. They get to see these 110 kids for a 2-hour session. Some of the coaches stayed for the whole day and stayed and talked and whatnot. But then plus you have the camp aspect, of, you know, it, so we grew that. We'll actually have two weeks of that now because it kind of blew up on us too fast. No different. So, like, this summer was a pretty good summer. We had 1,000 people on campus, so somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people on campus. And all that, I mean, now our team is the same way. I mean, like, we've had You know, I think out of this recruiting class, we had five kids who were camp kids, you know, came to a camp or whatnot. And so, and to me, we're just getting it started. So if we can go in this direction, again, just going back to like opportunities for kids, you know, like that's how I just hung around wrestling. Like, so when I'm not around wrestling, it's maybe not my, you know, the best. To kind of tell you a quick story about when I first met my wife, and this will get me in a little bit of trouble, but our first date, we were at a Carrabba's in Canton, and I'm sure I was talking a lot about wrestling just like we are right now. And at one point during the date, she said, "Am I going to ever be more important than wrestling?" And I just said, like, wrestling's the most important thing in my life. And, you know, how I didn't get water splashed in my face, or she just get up and walk away and left. And, but you know what? She stuck it out.
Up front. Yeah.
Yeah. She stuck it out and whatnot. And so, however, when they were telling that story on our wedding day, when my mom found out, I kind of had to hide a little bit, but to be fair, like, I don't like, she may have acted like she was mad, but you gotta remember, like, she's part of the Deese family. So like, I also wonder if she, deep down, she was a little bit proud that you know, her son, you know, enjoyed the sport of wrestling so much. So we'd have to get with her and find out if that's the real, if she was really upset that, like, how dare you say this to this young lady that now you're going to marry, or if she was like, that's my boy, you know.
Put on a front for the wedding, right?
Yeah. I mean, my mom was the one that was like, you know, my dad played football. So like, my mom was the one, like, in the stands or after matches, she'd be like, "Bill, you got to finish that high crotch. Like, we can't just sit there and whatnot." Like, she was the one. So I have a unique
sounds like dynamic. A lot like my mom. She came from a wrestling family, right? You're only, I say this all the time, a wrestler's only as tough as their mother, right? if they're going to run off to mom and mom's going to baby them, they're not going to be very tough at all, right?
Yeah, my mom wanted, like if I lost a match, like, she was not going to be like, "Hey, it's okay." She's like,
"Oh yeah."
Like, "Hey, you didn't take a single shot. How can you expect to win?" Like,
"All right, my mom that wrestled at Kett, she would ride the refs, man. The coach would be like, "You hear that? Even the moms are yelling at you to the ref." You know, ask any of my teammates, man. It's hilarious because she no shame, and you know, she knew what she was saying too. It wasn't, you know, some crazy mom yelling, but she
stand up,
what? you gotta love it, right? You gotta love it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So you talk real quick. You know, you mentioned, you know, a student didn't know, you know, Adrian exists or even had wrestling, right? For those, you know, coaches or parents listening, what's Adrian, you know, known for academically? What's the draw? What's your pitch to those parents listening?
Yeah, so our big ones are, so our business school is awesome. Mm-hmm. We got a great business school. Now we have a great sports business, because with so many sports teams and all that. So criminal justice and athletic training, we have a unique thing here. We have 5-year programs. So what that means is you can get your undergrad and master's in 5 years. So it saves you a year of school. You know, in both those fields, if you know, you know, in athletic training, you got to get your master's now. And then in criminal justice, if you know your line of work that you want to go to, we have those set up. And then obviously education is a big one. Something pretty unique and cool here, though, is we've started to expand. So no different than we've done on the athletic side is, you know, we're growing, you know, whatever, 15 years ago, we had 20 sports. And now 15 years later, we have 50. They're starting to do the same thing on the academic side. They've kind of cracked the code and figured it out. And so, like, I think all of a sudden now in the last 2 years, especially like the pandemic kind of speeded it up, like, I've heard our president say, like, the goal is for us to offer 200-300 majors. So those things that sometimes you can only get, you know, at a, you know, a Kent State or, you know, an Ohio State, you know, or Michigan or Michigan State, because, you know, they have so many students and whatnot. They've kind of figured out now with all this where, hey, we're one or two classes shy of offering, you know, supply chain management was the example that's been used a lot. We offered all the classes but two to offer a supply chain management degree. And so what our president has done is now linked up, and we have this thing called RISE, and you would take those two classes at, like, basically the University of Rutgers or basically it's those two classes are online, but now we offer supply chain management, because we can offer those two small classes and whatnot. And so you still get the traditional in face-to-face in class. I mean, last year we were face-to-face in class. I feel like we were one of the only schools that were, you know, we had a 2-week pause, but outside of that, we were face-to-face in class the whole year.
That's awesome. Definitely for Michigan, that's not the norm, right?
Yeah. So we were, you know, making sure, you know, all our sports teams stayed open. You know, we were testing. So to kind of go back to the pitch, like, we have that, what I would call the best of both worlds. And you have a small classroom feel. You get that 18 to 22 student feel. But we have the D1 feel when it comes to athletics. And then now all going to be on academic side as well. As we continue to start adding. Again, like I think that the sheet I saw this last year, we added 8 majors. And so they're going to keep that traditional, hey, you're in face-to-face classes 80% of the time or whatever the percentage is going to be. But now if you want something very specific, you're going to be able to get it in a small school setting. We got super, when I talk about like moving, like, and all that, you know, me and my wife got super lucky, you know, to land at a great institution that is growing. I mean, our class sizes as an institution, we've grown in the last 4 years. Unfortunately in the world of higher ed, you know, some schools are making cuts and, you know, there's this bubble that's coming up where high school's class sizes are smaller. And everybody's, you know, pretty nervous about that. And obviously with the pandemic, and we've continued to push and stay on the forefront. And, you know, Frank Rebar, our VP, and President Docking have done a great job just making sure, like, let's stay as one of the most innovative schools in the country and you know, continue to be in front of that. So, it's a pretty, like, to be behind the scenes, and I'm on a few committees and different things here at the institution. Like, it's pretty awesome to see, like, how quickly we keep just evolving and changing, and trying to keep up with the times.
Especially for COVID, right? I mean, change is here. Change is going to happen. That's go with.
Yeah, and just
gotta fight it. You know, you got to change with it. You're not, yeah. old programs and old ways aren't going to work anymore.
Exactly. So, it's pretty cool. And then even with all this, like, we have our own facility now. For wrestling. So we bought an old UAW. And so then we got, nice. We have an old banquet hall. Mm-hmm. So we added rugby right before the pandemic,
okay.
Men's and women's rugby. And so, it's kind of cool that we got linked up with rugby. So this building right now, it's just wrestling. So, you know, my office, the coaches' offices are down here. And then we have a kind of a 2-mat wrestling room right now.
So you're in the UAW, you guys refurbished to the wrestling facility?
Yeah. Well, it's not. So unfortunately, like, we moved in and then the pandemic hit. So not all the renovations have gone yet. We're in the process of doing all that. But so we moved in. We got a wrestling. We got a 2-mat wrestling room. They're working on a full athletic training room right now. But anyways, so, like, right behind me is going to be, you know, the rugby stadium. And so they're getting ready to, they've kind of surveyed it and starting to move dirt this spring. The rugby stadium will go, from my understanding, what happened. So we were right as the pandemic hit, like, that April, we were going to get ready to redo all these offices. Basically, this office wing was going to get all knocked down, new carpet, new walls, the whole nine. Pandemic hit, everything froze. And then when we got back to, like, okay, we can get back to construction, it was like, we added this rugby team, so let's build the stadium and then we'll come back inside in the building. So they're getting ready to build the stadium this spring. And then I'm sure right after that, then boom, coming inside and whatnot. Some of the plans that I've seen, like, the room's going to be pretty big and, you know, pretty nice. And, you know, to be able to have, like, windows and just, you know, different things that
natural lighting, right.
No, yeah. Just make a world difference. And our natural lighting, we'll be able to look out and see rugby. So, like, you know, I might have to get with Coach Benny and be like, hey, you got to schedule a game, you know, so that we can have practice during his game and kind of have fun and look out the window and all that. And, but yeah, it's a pretty cool experience to know that, like, again, like, rugby, like, how many schools offer rugby and just our guys love it. Like, they were, like super fans this year in the fall for all the rugby games. And, you know, first year rugby program, they beat Michigan, Michigan State and Central, and they're making the playoffs this year.
Really?
So yeah. And like, so he's done a phenomenal job. So we're in a really good spot. And our guys became super fans there. I know, last year, Dylan Walbaum, our starting 97 pounder, him and a few of his buddies, they became like super fans to one of the club team hockey teams that won the national title, to the point where like Gary, the coach, he was trying to see if he could get those guys COVID tested to take the bus ride when they went out to the national championship.
Wow.
So like you talk about a student athlete experience, like,
right.
You know, a lot of it's about like, let's win some wrestling matches and all that. But like these guys have, you know, they haven't made, they can go and there's a sporting event going on almost every time. I mean, above our ice arena is what we call WOW, but it's basically like a B-dubs. It's like a mini B-dubs. So you can go up top and eat wings and watch a hockey game. You know, like it doesn't get much better than that. Like
there's probably always a hockey game going on with seven teams, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is almost every weekend, sometimes during the week with our club teams, there's almost always a hockey team playing going on. And even during the weekends, like there'll be like back-to-back hockey games or you know, a triple header, you know, it'll be like a noon game, a 4 and an 8, you know, so
awesome.
There's always something pretty cool going on.
No, that's awesome. You have anything else? I know, you know, we covered a lot there, but that's awesome to hear. You know, I'm glad we connected, you know, reconnected, you know, like what, it was 10, 12 years ago, we first crossed paths and glad to hear what you have going on there. Cause it's, you know, I never knew all that, what you had going on there and the behind the scenes stuff that, you know, family and all that stuff. So it's cool to hear. And thanks for sharing.
No, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to kind of tell the story and kind of get how we got here and kind of a little bit about Adrian is, you know, we're just looking to hopefully keep growing and, you know, be a contender, you know, hopefully shortly. And anybody that's out there listening, like, listen, I'm an open book. Like it doesn't matter with practice plans to, you know, just different things. Like if anybody ever wants to get a hold of me, like for me, it's more about sharing the sport of wrestling. I'm not a guy who's going to like, oh, this is our secret formula, right, how right. we get good. Like, I grew up around wrestlers. I just like sitting and talking wrestling. Like one of the cool things that I've been doing lately is going to lunches with high school coaches in the area over the summer. And I get in trouble a few times because my wife would be like, how long are you going to be gone? And I'm like, probably like an hour and a half. And then I show up 3 hours later. And she's like, I thought you said like an hour and a half. And I was like, we were talking about wrestling or we were talking about practice plans. And like, she's like, you can't like, just tell me 5 hours and then I just won't expect you home. Like, just, you know, so I just, you know, no different than this. You said like a half an hour, we probably talked for an hour. I enjoy talking about wrestling.
That's awesome. No, I'm glad we connected. So, and thanks for sharing. So, well, best of luck this season. You know, I'll put in the show link, show notes, the links to follow you guys and all the information you guys have going on. So thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.